Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Sammet, alongside Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Mike. Hey, I have a compliment for you to start off the show.
Oh, I always like compliments.
You sound so good playing the instruments at the beginning. That was such a good cut you did. And I heard you only did it in one take. Is that correct?
Yeah, I recorded it in one take. That was all me.
That's amazing.
I even did the voiceover, that woman's voice.
Really?
I do impressions.
Now I'm very impressed.
Yes. So, all right, you got me off to a good start here in a good mood. I appreciate that very much, and hopefully we can put our guests in a good mood as well. Joining us on the show today from foodpeople.com, it is Tommy Linda, and from Virtual Adrenaline Productions, Ronnie Winstead. And welcome to both of you gentlemen. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's start with you, Tommy. Tommy Linda with foodpeople.com. I'll ask right off the bat, Tommy, what does your company do? Tell us all about foodpeople.com.
Well, It's kind of a twofold business. I have two types of customers. I have the general public who can go to foodpeople.com and order from dozens of different restaurants and have the food delivered. Typically restaurants that do not normally deliver, some that do, but restaurants that don't. And then the other angle is restaurant owners because of the following that I've created on foodpeople.com. I approach restaurants on a daily basis to join my site, have their menu put on my site so that I can bring their product to my customers. So the customer is the restaurant owner as well as the general public, and I'm feeding people, and that's what I like to do.
Obviously, when we think of food delivery, it's always just pizza, and we've never really had a lot of choices. Now you're saying we do have some choices. What are some of the restaurants that you can help us, that you can deliver to folks' homes?
Well, right now we serve Buckhead, Midtown, a lot of the surrounding areas. So for all the Gwinnett folks that go downtown for work every day, or the restaurant owners that own restaurants in Buckhead, they can indulge in Outback Steakhouse. I've kind of got a niche market because I've got some hidden gems in there. Restaurants that you wouldn't really necessarily know about, menus that are extremely unique, but you wouldn't know about it unless you lived in the neighborhood, and I expand their presence. Like Einstein's is down on Juniper. They've got a duck grilled cheese sandwich that I have dreamt about. another good one is Cow Tippers for a great steak on Piedmont. If you like Indian food, my number one restaurant is Cafe Bombay in the North Druid Hills area. I never tried Indian before. I partnered with them, and again, some of their dishes just are great. And I don't put them on my website unless I try the food, and that's one of the perks. In being the owner, I usually get a nice dish prepared for me when I sit down with the owners. So I've got about 20 right now, and we're building, on a monthly basis.
So folks go to foodpeople.com. They can pull up the menus, I assume, so they know what to select.
Right. What happens is you go to foodpeople.com, and it asks you to select your zip code. Once you select your zip code, the restaurants that are available in your area all come up.
So if your zip code doesn't come up, then you're not in that delivery area yet, although I'm sure you have plans to expand.
Correct.
Okay.
Once the restaurants that are in that area come up, you select your restaurant, the menu pulls up, you place your order like you would pizza, you go to checkout like you would any other website, you pay online. You can pay cash if you want, but you can pay online, you tip online. That way, when your food is brought to you, there's no transaction involved. It's enjoy your meal and smiles all the way.
What's the standard amount of time somebody should kind of be ready to expect? Because obviously these are nicer restaurants. It's not fast food. So what kind of a time frame should a customer be thinking about?
They're told an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. And again, we're talking about Buckhead dinner time. So it's funny, though. I've noticed a trend. People plan ahead when it comes to their eats nowadays. And, they're prepared to wait that amount of time. Now, we also cater. And for all of the restaurants on my website and restaurants that are not on my website, we provide a catering service And that's outside of the Buckhead area. We can cater as far as Gwinnett or as far south as the airport from any restaurant you want. And what we do is you tell us what type of cuisine you want. Again, whether it be our restaurant or another restaurant, you tell us your budget, the number of people, and then you're done. We serve as a mediator between the restaurant and yourself. And we get everything all planned out, and then we go pick it up, and we come and we set it all up for you.
Walk through the process of a restaurant owner who wants to get on your website. You did mention, of course, the main thing I heard was that you get to sample all the food, so I'm very jealous. But
Steven wants a job.
You're hiring me after the show. But just kind of talk through the process. How long does it typically take? Imagine I'm a restaurant owner,
right,
and I've shown some interest. Just give me a 50,000-foot view of the process.
It's fairly painless process if you're wanting to get on. You give me your most recent menu. It takes me about 48 hours to put that up on the website. And upon launching your menu, we do a number of different things to ramp up the marketing and let our customers, the Food People customers, know that you're now a member of, you know, our site. Things like email marketing. I mean, the presence is in excess of 10,000 people in Atlanta. Every time I shoot an email blast out, and we do door hangers, and we do this, and we do that. So, you know, you come to me, we sign a piece of paper. It's not really a contract. You can leave me whenever you'd like. I can leave you whenever I'd like. There's no penalty for leaving, no cancellation fees. It's just an agreement that when I send you an order, you cook the food, and I'll have somebody there to pick it up. That can all happen within 48 to 72 hours, and we'll be bringing you more orders guaranteed.
So as a restaurant owner, I don't have to worry about hiring the delivery driver and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I get to add an extra revenue stream of online customers who are not going to show up in my restaurant.
That's correct. So your margins, your overhead is minimized. But your revenue is increased.
And what you're also hoping is when they eat it at home, they go, this is so good. Imagine if we go sit in the restaurant and get it right out of the kitchen. That's even better.
That's correct. There's a couple of benefits to it. Number one, the people that are already going to the restaurant twice a month are not going to stop going. They're going to still go because they want to get out twice a month, but they're now going to realize that they can have it four times a month and you can bring it to their home. At the same time, we deliver as far as 8 miles from the restaurant. So people that have never heard of your restaurant will now give it a shot. And once they give it a shot, they might be inclined to go down to the Piedmont Park area on a Saturday afternoon and sit down there. So there's a two-prong effect there. Yeah.
We're talking with Tommy Linda. He's the owner of foodpeople.com. I'd love to find out the origin of the company. When did you have the idea, and where did the idea come from?
Well,
was it frustration of, okay, I want to eat something and all I get is pizza as far as delivery. I want something different.
No. Wait, actually what he did was, how can I sample great restaurants in Atlanta? I know. I'll start a business.
All I wanted was the free food. I figured, how do I get fed
every
day?
Sorry, Tommy, I had to jump in with that. That's what I would have done.
I thought you said there'd be no rough questions here.
Sorry.
I'd love to take credit for the pioneering of this industry. But 2 years ago, as you know, I was selling baseball uniforms, and a buddy on our team asked me to take a look at a company that was just about defunct. And he was a small partner in the company, and the company had been founded by another gentleman in 2007, who's still a good friend of mine. I eventually bought him out, but it was founded by him. He brought my buddy in. My buddy brought me in, and at that point, it was either do something with the company or they're going to shut it down. And selling baseball uniforms, I'm pretty busy for about 2 months out of the year. So I had a whole lot of time on my hands, and I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was a great idea. It was a turnkey operation because the website was already up. Everything was already in place. But I just had to self-teach myself everything. And so for 6 months, I slept on my buddy's floor in his Buckhead place on an air mattress and worked out of there. And we've gone from 2 orders a night to approximately 20 orders a day now and a ton of catering opportunities. So I can only take credit for building it, not thinking of it, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot more fun than what I used to do. I was an air traffic controller. I was a Wall Street broker. I used to have hair. And
until you became an air traffic controller, then you lost it.
Well, it was actually the Wall Street years okay. that made me lose the hair. But yeah, this is a whole lot easier than both of those things.
But it is a growing industry though, because there are other companies out there that I've seen that kind of do the same thing, mm-hmm. and they maybe service other areas. So it seems they like are. It is growing.
It's incredible. I mean, after my 15 years on Wall Street, you know, dealing with business owners thousands at a time, and learning from their stories as my clients, they would, you know, now to do it myself and to see the industry as a you know, it's like watching a baby grow, because it is. It's a young industry, and it's just growing right before my eyes. You know, actually, at this point, you have to temper the growth so you can provide the demand that's there. So yeah, it's growing pretty good.
I assume there is a minimum order that people would actually, mm-hmm. Not call in, but do on the website, a minimum order. Then, of course, you mentioned there's room for a tip and so forth. Mm-hmm. I assume there's a little added on to the cost of the meal, so you can make a little bit money of revenue on that side. Plus, I assume these restaurants pay a sort of a fee for your service as well.
There is. The restaurants, we negotiate a commission with the restaurant for every order that we bring. And then there's a $4.99 delivery fee, which half of that goes to the driver. As well as the tip, but that's the only other fee. You're going to pay the restaurant prices and a $4.99 delivery fee, and if you want a service, you should probably tip the guy.
Yes,
right? And the truth is that we're never at a loss for hungry people that are willing to be lazy mm-hmm. and pay the $4.99 to have the food brought for them.
Well, and this might be another little bit of an interesting question, but if I'm a restaurant owner, I've got in my mind, and I've been doing it a while, I've got in my mind what my clients are looking for when they walk in the door, when they sit down at a table. Is there anything different that a restaurant owner needs to keep in mind for someone who's ordering in from outside, other than get the food there fast? Is there anything a restaurant owner,
couple things I deal with.
Yeah.
They're real concerned with the presentation from when it leaves the door to when it arrives. But most people are prepared. Most owners are prepared. They have the correct packaging. If it's real saucy stuff, then, you want to have the right packaging. As far as it getting, to the customer in a timely fashion, that's on us. When the customer, when it gets there later than normal, they'll complain to us. And if it, they'll eventually complain to the restaurant about the delivery service that they're dealing with. So, yeah. And that's probably the most challenging thing in the business is dealing with the drivers and making sure that they're all on time and, their status updates are legit. But it's we've got it down. To a pretty tight operation.
That's an interesting point he brings up about presentation, because let's be honest, pizza presentation is not all that much, but obviously we're talking about fine restaurants. So yeah, right. that's a good point. Are you finding that restaurants, you said they're prepared with the packaging. I would imagine some of them, if they've never done this before, I guess they got packaging for take home, but you can kind of counsel them on you
right.
need to be ready.
It's part of the spiel. When we sit down in the first meeting with the restaurant owner, we discuss, what they currently have for packaging. And if not, they obviously have the resources to get it fairly quickly. And it's a very minimal expense in comparison. But I actually have some, I just signed up a private caterer, and she's actually the private caterer to some pretty well-known athletes in Atlanta. And what she does, she operates out of her home, and she's just a well-known chef. And when she sends the food to you, she sends it with a presentation. It's the finest, plastic cutlery you can find. She's got, it's set up on a nice little black tray, and so. So she's the only one that's done it thus far to go that far as to ensure presentation is the same. The truth is that the restaurant owners want the orders and they don't want complaints. So as long as we're getting it there within 15 minutes, people are happy.
Tommy Linda with foodpeople.com is our guest. I never realized, Stephen, I'd have so many questions about foodpeople.com.
Those were great questions, Stephen.
Well, thank you.
And let me ask you this, because you mentioned, we've mentioned that it's a growing industry right now. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned it's I assume it's very competitive because you see the other companies. What stops another company from just coming right into an area where you're serving right now? Do you have an exclusive agreement with these restaurants?
No.
You're just the first right now, and hopefully best.
Some of my competitors, well, no. Actually, I encourage the restaurant owners to deal with me and every other business like mine out there. Because if I tell them not to, it's kind of like I'm taking money out of their pocket, which would be selfish, which would probably mean I'm not going to get the deal. But I encourage them to deal with other companies just like mine, as many orders as they can handle is what I encourage them to do. The good thing about this business is that it is fairly competitive in the Atlanta area. You know, downtown, midtown, Buckhead. The other side of that is there's 6 million people. Okay, so, you know, I can only deliver so many orders a day. Yeah. And, you know, so can my drivers. The other good thing is that the reason I'm trying to expand quickly is because my competition is not in the outskirts. There's very little competition outside of the city areas, but there's still hungry people and there's still good restaurants. So we've begun to hit those areas. But like you say, there's no stopping any other company from coming in right next to me and trying to, you know, build the same thing that I've built, and more power to them. You know,
I think you just kind of answered my next question. Where do you hope to be in 3, 4, 5 years? And it sounds like just continue to expand your footprint.
That's it. You know, I've got some things going on up in New York. I've got family up there, and a couple of people have expressed interest in doing a satellite version up there in New York. And, you know, I mean, at this point, I've watched it grow to where it is now, and it's you know, it's paying the bills, and it's growing at a rapid pace, and I'm not going to step in the way of the growth. So where it goes, it goes. But I mean, in 3 to 5 years, I think I won't be delivering many more deliveries. You know, I'll probably have drivers doing all of the work. Yeah. Right now, I started off doing all of the deliveries. Now I do about 20% of them, so that I can handle the rest of the business. And hopefully in 3 years, I won't have to deliver anymore.
Specifically in the Metro Atlanta area, are there specific target areas you're looking at, or is it just going to be kind of where the opportunity takes you?
Well, we're kind of expanding outward.
Okay.
We started in Buckhead in Midtown, and then we moved up north to Sandy Springs, west towards Vinings, east towards Dunwoody. Next stop will be Roswell, then Alpharetta. Further on up north, maybe a little further northeast towards North Cross and Gwinnett, just kind of like the real estate, expanding outward, mm-hmm. knocking down trees.
For those, of course, that are now, you know, that wanted the service, they just go to foodpeople.com. So for all our listeners that would love to have the food delivered, they can go to foodpeople.com, check out the menus, check out the restaurants.
Yep.
For those others that are listening that may be restaurant owners that would like to talk to you or reach out to you or regarding the business, how would they – do they go to the site as well?
Yeah. They on the homepage of the website, there's a small little area that says for restaurant owners, call. And it tells them to call 678-334-4531. That's a direct line to me. And that's the number that they'll find on the site. So that's the easiest way for either the customers or the restaurant owners is just to go to the homepage and find my number and give me a call.
Sounds like a no-brainer. If you're a restaurant owner in Tommy's footprint or soon-to-be growing footprint, sounds like a no-brainer. So,
and remember, when they call, the sample food goes to Mike Salmond and Stephen Julian.
Yeah, if you need
right?
any testers, yeah, let absolutely. Us know, Tommy.
I think I can have that arranged.
Just want to confirm that.
I do. I think I can have that arranged.
Nice try, Stephen. All right, Tommy Linda with foodpeople.com. Thanks so much for joining us today on the program.
Thanks, Mike. Stephen.
All right. Our next guest on the show from Virtual Adrenaline Productions, it is Ronnie Winstead. Ronnie is the owner of the company. Ronnie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you having me on today.
Absolutely. Tell us all about Virtual Adrenaline Productions and what you do.
Do we have that much time?
I'll cut you off if you go too long.
There's a lot to tell. First of all, we are a turnkey studio. Now, that really doesn't exist. I've got clients and friends worldwide. When I say turnkey, we truly do absolutely everything. Recording, mixing, mastering, duplicating,
printing. Are we talking video, audio?
Yes,
all
yes.
All of it. Yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
Okay.
So there's no studio out there that actually offers all the services. In fact, one of the most unique things about us is usually when you go to a studio, you'll go to Nashville to record a country song. You'll go to L.A. to record some pop. You'll go to here, Atlanta, to do some hip-hop. You know, and you go to many stations. We've actually called all of the locations here in Atlanta that are listed in the Yellow Pages just to, you know, check out the competition, see what they offer and how they work. And they typically focus on one style of music, and that's their forte, and that's all that they do. They'll actually turn you down. You know, if you're going to do country, this is not – no, you got to call somebody else. But we look at it, it's music. If your idea of music is – banging a stick on your head, and you're going to sing with it, hey, we'll record it.
You're the guy.
That's it. And we really do every style of music there is. We do have one rule and one rule only. All the lyrics must be family friendly. So, again, I'm not going to penalize you for your taste of music. If you're into metal, opera, bluegrass, country, don't care. We got a lot of people to help you out with all those areas. So what we try to focus on is when we have an artist come in, we specialize in working with young artists, first of all. Not young only in age, but usually trying to get into the business. They're trying to find out if they want to do this full-time, they think they do, or they just want to do it for fun. And they may need help in a lot of different areas. So we try to educate them in all those areas. Most people don't really know how to properly do a copyright on a song. We teach them. There's no charge for that. They have no clue about publishing, how and why. We teach them. There's no charge for that. We have classes of all kinds that we teach, which is on our website, virtualadrenaline.com. And we try to teach everybody everything that we know, everything that we've learned. I started in my studio in 1989. That's a couple of years ago. And been in this business most of my life. I started playing guitar when I was 12. I think that's about 100 years ago.
Not quite.
Not quite. But so we try to take all these things that we have learned, and as long with our team as well, because everybody has different levels of learning and experiences, and take all those things and help them. A good example is a lot of times people walk in with what they call their song. They put their song in front of me. Well, how does it go? I don't know. So actually, it's a sheet of lyrics. It's not a song. It's not a song until it has a melody. When it has a melody, then it's a song. So they say they've written these songs. I'm not kidding. I've had them come in and say, I've written 300 songs, or I've written 100 songs. But if you get them to sing them, if they do sing and they don't play an instrument, it's the exact same melody to all 100 songs.
So what you have is a poet. You don't really.
It's the same song with 100 different lyrics. But they don't hear that and they don't realize that. So we try to help them with that. We can provide all the instrumentation, and we specialize in doing real instruments. We don't focus any on what we call the plastic music. You know, when if you want a beat, you know, which is technically it's just a drum beat. You know, you're going to buy something on the internet and just sing with it. What we have done most of the time is they'll bring that in because they have an idea, have a starting point. And we'll actually recreate it with all real instruments. And then we'll help them with the arrangement so it will have the right arrangement of a song. A typical song is a verse, a chorus, a bridge, a verse, and a chorus. Or the verse can be two verses, but it has a verse, bridge, and a chorus in it. And that's a typical structure, but they don't know this. And they're just singing and following the melody of the music.
So you're a consultant, you're an advisor, you're a teacher, you're all of that.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing.
And you probably have stories of, and you've kind of told the stories of people that literally come from square one.
Yes.
But you've probably also got some stories of people who are on square 7 and square 15. They've got more than just lyrics on a page, and you just kind of take wherever they are and help them get to the finished product.
Yeah, unfortunately, I would have to say the majority of them think they're on 7.
But they're on 1. 1.5?
No,
they'll
be on. I look at a scale 1 to 10, okay. And 5 being the average. You know, average is, you know, just about anybody can go out there and do something, perform something, sing, and play a little bit. That's average. They may be above average on vocal, but maybe not on instrumentation. Mm-hmm. Or they may be extreme on, they're 9 on instrumentation, but vocals are 2. So you have to reach a balance and help them understand that and provide guidance where it's needed. Unfortunately, I haven't had anybody, and I'm talking about including multi-platinum recording artists, come in there that's been on point, on key with every single thing. Everyone requires a little bit of coaching, and you have to be really conscientious and really focused on what it is they need. It's not trying to tell somebody what to do. It's simply helping them in their weakness.
It behind every great song and behind every great act is more than just a few chords and a singer. There's production there, and that's where you come in, is with the experience. Even though you're only 29 years old, you've been doing it since you were three. So,
do you wear glasses?
No, I don't.
You might need
I
some.
Need some, yes.
So are you responsible for Justin Bieber? I want to just make sure and get this out of the way. No, okay, just wanted to make sure.
That's the one type of music he won't accept in the studio.
Have you ever had anybody come in and they have you mention the words and they go, okay, and I want the song to kind of go like this, and they kind of hum a few times. I mean, they really come with very little.
Yes, most of the time that is the case.
Do you – and so you don't really turn people – I mean, you encourage them and you want – you know, you try to help them the best you can, I assume.
This is what I tell everybody that walks through my door. My job is two parts, to encourage and to challenge. That's what I have to do to everybody who walks through their door. So I want to encourage you in whatever you're doing. I need to understand the caliber of your seriousness. I wanted to do this for fun. I just want to write songs. I want to be the next big performer. Once I understand that, then I can help you with your direction. I encourage them and challenge them both, because the challenge is, if you're doing this, how can you do it better? Here's the biggest challenge of all. Let's take any example. Steve, you give me an example of a style of music you like.
Blues.
Okay. I got a blues player coming in. This blues player, he's new. You know, he's been doing some of the circuits and playing a few things, and a few people know him. But he's really looking to make that next step. Okay. This, my first question is, what can you do to make you stand out? You're a blues player, and how many blues players are there? Okay. Just in Atlanta, how many are there? We don't really know, but let's say there's 1,000 of them. Okay, when that 1,000 plays, what's going to make you any different than all the other ones? Well, some of the techniques and things I do, when I learn you and what you've got, what you're going to do, I listen to you, study you some, I try to figure out what can we do to make you sound different. So let's say on this blues player, he's got a good song, he's got good lyrics, he's got a good presentation, arrangements are good, but what can you do? All right, I'm going to give you an example, not blues, but a country that I actually did. I did this country song. I actually use, to start out the song, I use a drum pattern from hip-hop. So I use hip-hop drums for a country song. And everybody that hears it, they go, wow, I really like that. There's something different about it. And they don't really know, no one has ever pinpointed what it is. Because I then replaced it with real drums, but I got my drummer to, I want the sticking done this way. And it gives it such a fresh sound, but no one can finger, they can't put their finger on it. So let's say on this blues song, you've got that going. Think of an instrument that you would not normally hear in a blues song. Say a cello. Mm-hmm. All right? So we're going to mix a cello. Instead of having all the rock and guitar, we're going to put this cello in there to give it a fresh new sound. That becomes your signature and sets you apart.
I feel like he's a chef, and he brings in different ingredients, and he stirs them up and is having some fun.
Oh, it's a blast.
You mentioned, and we're talking, by the way, with Ronnie Winstead with Virtual Adrenaline Productions. You mentioned earlier some training. You mentioned some classes. Talk to us a little bit more about the classes.
Well, first of all, on our website, we try to post everything, and we've got so many things that we've got going on, it's ridiculous. People go, how many hours a day do you have? Because it seems like it goes forever, because I've got my finger in all of them. Of course, we have teams to do things too. We have songwriting classes, which is probably one of our strongest classes. It's a three-hour class, costs $25. You get a workbook. You're going to have three breakout sessions, and when you leave the class, you will have written a complete song, even if you can't play an instrument. Because, see, it's really impossible to write a song. Remember, it's the lyrics. Has to have a melody to become a song. How are you going to do that if you don't understand music and structure? Okay, we teach you how you can do that, and you won't really have to play an instrument. Now, it's to your best interest to learn how to play the instrument. And along with that, one of our classes we have is every the first and third Monday of every month, I teach free yes, free guitar lessons. Okay, I've been doing this for 10 years. I did it for the first 7 years every Monday, and I had to have a break. So
yeah,
so it's free lessons. We have it there in the studio. You do have to bring acoustic guitar. After you've attended your fourth class, you actually get a workbook. Again, it's free. We don't teach theory. We don't teach music. We teach techniques and applications. These are techniques and things. When I have somebody come in to play guitar in particular, they'll usually have one or two strum patterns. So that makes every song sound the same. But I can show them by changing this up and learning some techniques to blunt, to mute. We got different terms that we use. We got chunk. I mean, we got all these different terms. And when you learn these pieces and you start putting them together, it breathes life into your song. Because it's all about the dynamics. And since you've only got one instrument, you're limited on your dynamics.
You mentioned guitar. I mean, if you're a piano player, I mean, I assume there's a wide array of instruments, drummers. I mean,
yeah, it depends on what you need. Now,
as far as the classes and so forth.
Right. That's the only one we do for free. And from that, we've had other people come in and take, you know, private lessons because they want to go deeper into it.
But if you're a guitarist, if you're a pianist, if you're a drummer, there's something there for you.
Yes, sir.
Is it also, as far as the guitar, real quick, is it also beginners? Someone who says, I got a guitar and I really stink. But
that's mostly what it is.
Okay.
We have a few people once in a while. And again, there's no commitment. You can come in and out. I have some people that would come once a month or every other month because I got this, I got to go learn it. Or, you know, I just want to learn something else, but they already play. Our students range from 8 years old to 72.
And I would think, Ronnie, you not only get the range as far as the age, but, you know, the ones that are taking this seriously and want to have a career in the industry, and those that are just, you know, a financial planner like Steven's, like, I'd like to kind of, you know, learn a guitar, or learn how to write a song.
I tell you, and I encourage people on guitar in particular because it's one of the greatest tools for an escape. And you can take it with you anywhere, any time.
Oh, I thought he was going to say the greatest tool to pick up women.
Well, that too.
That too.
I tell the young guys, I said, you know.
What's that, Tommy?
Kumbaya.
I tell the young kids in the concert, this is called a chick magnet.
Yeah.
Because the girls always want to see, but the guys do too. If you're a good guitar player, everybody enjoys that.
The athletes all age, but guitar players just keep getting better and better.
You got it.
You mentioned that your scale of 1 to 10 earlier, and you could be a 2 on how you look scale, but you play guitar, all of a sudden you're a 9.
You got that right.
So. Well, Ronnie, let me ask you this. You've mentioned your staff a couple of times. And what's clearly coming out in this conversation with you is that you care about people. You care about the people who come in as your clients and your customers. Talk some about your staff. It sounds like they can almost do anything. So just talk about them a little bit, the range, the expertise, what you like about working with them and having them in your studio.
Well, I feel like that everybody has limitations. But within those limitations, we can pretty much do anything. Any kind of audio production, any kind of video production. My partner, Eric Baker, he actually reads and writes music. He played for George Bush. His main instrument is saxophone, but he plays...
George Bush had a band.
No,
he
just played four.
I'm just kidding. I got you.
Not in George's band.
George Bush and the Warhawks.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, okay.
Get back on track. Talk more about your staff.
I'm hearing the crickets now.
Not all of my jokes are funny. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He actually reads to write music, so we can actually score if you needed it scored for an orchestra. You know, how to have an orchestra arrangement. He can actually score all out, you know, for the instruments and everything and give you the sheet music. He's very good at doing those arrangements and those types of things.
Wow, so even if you're like a little independent filmmaker and you need a score or something, they can come to your company.
Well, that's exactly right, and we've already got a couple on the table, one for another company and a second one for... someone else. I don't know if I should say his name. Brandon Kiever with Soul Searching Studios. He's getting ready to make a full motion picture, and we'll be doing this whole soundtrack for that. And that's the thing about us. When people come into our studio, and this is what I encourage people. I'm just like Tommy here. I encourage you to go to other studios because here's one of the things that we do that I know other studios don't do. I encourage you to call me. I want you to come out and see the studio. We don't have set hours. And we're located inside Discover Mills in a private area. So people would call and say, I've been walking around this mall 3 times. I can't find you. Do you realize when you walk around 1 time, that's 1 mile? You've been walking for 3 miles and was your phone broke? You know, so so anyway, we're in a private area. So when they do come back, I encourage them. We do what we call a meet and greet. The meet and greet is simply I want to meet them. They meet me. I want to hear if they got anything recorded. And sometimes it's just on their phone. It really doesn't matter. You know, sometimes they got something they did at home or did in another studio or, you know, someone recorded it for them. So I want to hear them and what they got and what it sounds like so I'll know where to help them. Then in return, I'll let them hear productions that we've done, usually in the same type of, if they got an R&B groove, then we'll play some R&B stuff. If they've done some opera, we'll play some opera. We've done all every style of music there is, so we'll play something, and sometimes they want to hear something outside what they got so they can hear different things. So I'll sit there and spend the time with them. And the reason I do this because I challenge anybody. Go to the studio, no matter what they say, and see what their production sounds like. Just because they produced artist ABC and you know them or they're on the radio doesn't mean they're going to give you that same attention because it's all about the budget. Okay? Now, if you've got a $10,000, a $50,000 budget for one song, then you'll get that same attention. But I can guarantee you, if you don't, you're going to be working with an intern, someone that's learning and thinks they know what to do, and your recording won't be the same. So you need to figure out budget-wise what you've got and the person that's going to be working with you. And to me, I tell people there's one word to a successful recording, only one, personalities. You think about it. If you're working with someone, no matter who it is, sooner or later you're going to bump heads. You're not going to agree on something or something's going to fall down, you know. If you've got the right personalities, it clicks, you just say, oh, okay, no problem, and you move on. So if you make to a commitment for a big project, the project's going to suffer as soon as that happens. So the first thing that I do is I will not let you come in and record a project. We're going to do one song only. When that song is finished, if we both are still shaking hands, we're still smiling, telling jokes, and we like the production, now we'll commit to a bigger project. But you've got to understand people's personality because artists are weird people.
I are one.
I mean, it's just a fact, you know. Whatever kind of – everybody has got some kind of artsy thing about them. It didn't have to be a painter. And fortunately, I was a painter, wire sculpture, pottery. I won best in state in my high school, so I've got that weird side, and I got the music side. So
Wall Street, air traffic controller, all that stuff?
Yeah. No.
No, that's a different kind of weird.
That's
it.
Sure is. So it just depends on – you've really got to put some time into the people. And you really said the right word. The people that know me, they'll hear me say one thing more than anything. All I want to do is help people. I really want to help them. It's not just go sing it and it's okay. If you allow me, I will coach you and help you. If you don't want that input, I will not give it to you because I'm not going to make you do anything. But I'm going to do my best to compliment what you're doing.
Ronnie, you kind of mentioned it in the last answer about your location. You said what used to be Discover Mills, now Sugarloaf Mills. So
right.
So your location is right here in Gwinnett in Lawrenceville.
Yes, sir.
Okay. For folks that want to find out more about your studio, find out about the classes, all of the instruction, everything that you do, where can they get that information?
VirtualAdrenaline.com.
VirtualAdrenaline.com. And Ronnie Winstead, the owner of Virtual Adrenaline Productions. But virtualandadrenaline.com is the website. Great stuff. Fun show today, Stephen.
Absolutely. We just sat back and let the personalities come out.
Ronnie, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right, Ronnie Winstead with Virtual Adrenaline Productions. For more information, it's virtualadrenaline.com. And Tommy Linda with foodpeople.com. And obviously, to order some great food and have it delivered directly to your front door, it's foodpeople.com. Thank you, Tommy, as well.
Thank you.
All right. I want to thank both our guests for joining us on the show today. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of the programs 24/7 by logging on to GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. For Steve and Julian.
Mike, I learned today that the reason we're the best show on Business Radio X is because of personalities. Mainly ours. And now I'm going to go enjoy a grilled duck and grilled cheese sandwich.
Nice. There you go. Yes, very well done. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.